If you get the opportunity to play or to coach in that type of setting, right now I'm not quite sure that there's anything greater, especially for young men and young women, to be developing not only their athletic skills, but most importantly, their life skills.
Hey, how you doing? Brian Kane, your Peak Performance Coach here with the Peak Performance Podcast. And today's guest, Jamie Yeaman, was a standout lacrosse player at the University of Massachusetts Amherst and led the Minutemen to the NCAA playoffs in 3 of the 4 years that he was on the team. They made the quarterfinals twice and in 2006 competed in the NCAA National Championship game. During his tenure with UMass, Jamie was awarded the 2004 UMass Lacrosse Hammer Award and the 2006 UMass Lacrosse Goose Garber Award, signifying the most unselfish player with the best attitude on the team who demonstrated the qualities of their late coach, Dick Garber. Jamie graduated from UMass with a BA in Real Estate Management and Development, emerging as a motivational leader with unrivaled capabilities as a team player. In this podcast, Jamie shares the mindset, the personal development strategies that he uses to become one of the most successful real estate agents in the nation, leading Yeaman Real Estate, Central New York's premier real estate agency. To learn more, please contact Jamie at jdyaman@yaman.com. That's jdyaman@yaman.com. Please welcome to the podcast, Jamie Yeaman. Jamie, thank you for joining us, man.
Brian, it's an absolute pleasure.
Jamie, if
great
you would.
Great introduction, by the way. It's hard, it might be hard to live up to that.
Yeah, no, man, you're going to crush it. I'm fired up to have you on here. You know, would you first kind of give us a little bit of your transition from you're at UMass, you're crushing it on the lacrosse field, and now you're crushing it in the real estate agent world, in the real estate world. What are some of the parallels that you see from playing in collegiate athletics? Is the people that will be listening to this podcast, Jamie, you're going to be mostly, you know, coaches and athletes. What are some of the parallels that you learned in lacrosse that are also making you successful here in the real estate world?
Yeah, sure. Well, Brian, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me on your podcast. It's a real honor to be able to speak to your audience, be able to speak to you. I really admire what you're doing in the world and making a big difference. So regarding the transition, I mean, I've always looked at athletics as a metaphor for life. And of course, your athletes and your coaches can probably attest to the same thing. You know, I remember one time when I was in my senior year, we were looking down we were at Garber Field playing at UMass, and I think it was January 20th, and I remember this day very vividly. Looking down the line, we were doing our last sprint my senior year for the winter training, and I was about ready to puke. Other guys were barely able to stay up on their 2 feet, and I think the temperature was about 20 degrees, and a part of me just started to get so damn excited about what it was that I was doing. And it really caught me off guard. And I went back to my locker room after that and just asked, what the hell was that all about? And I realized that when I was looking down that line, this was not something that any normal person would really enjoy doing. No one would want to be out there in 20 degrees, running their ass off, sweating, getting ready to puke, and then all of a sudden have this incredible passion for what it was that you were doing out there with 40 guys coming through you. And so, you know, applying that principle to the business world, there's gonna be a lot of things in life in general. There's gonna be a lot of things you're not gonna want to do. And having the experience that I had playing at UMass, going through all the athletic experiences that I had, and really applying them to the real world, gave me this sense of being able to push through anything that came to me that might have been uncomfortable. Just giving me a sense of an experience I could turn back to and know that if I can get through this, I can get through anything.
Jamie, that's awesome, man. You can be as colorful and animated and real as you want on the podcast, man, for sure. So, you know, you have this experience in college lacrosse. You know, you played for a good friend of mine and a friend of yours, Andy Shea, who's now the head of lacrosse coach at Yale, one of the most successful in the country. And, yep. You know, Andy will be a guest on the podcast as well here. What are some of the things that you learned from your college assistant coach at the time that have kind of stuck with you?
All right. Well, Andy recruited me to go to Yale from our hometown, which we both lived in. Obviously, Andy's a lot older than I am. But the first experience that I had with Andy at UMass, it was raining, and we were just starting fall ball. And I came in to coach's office where Andy was there, and I said, "Hey, coach, you know, hey, if it keeps," and I was excited, right? I'm like, "It's raining." I'm like, "Hey, coach, if it keeps raining, man, maybe we can practice indoors." And he looked at me, and this was not the guy. Now, all of a sudden, I could tell in his eyes, this was not the guy that first recruited me. Because the guy who first recruited me was this, you know, super warm, super fun, loving guy, you know, really wanted to build rapport. And he looked at me like I was fucking crazy. And he said, you know, Yamen, he said, it's pussies like you that have made this program what it hasn't been yet. And I was like, holy shit. And he goes, we're going to be fucking outdoors today. We're going to be outdoors every other day. And that was the only thing he said to me in that moment. I went back to the locker room with my tails between my legs. And that was the moment that I realized what real warrior training was going to be like. At UMass, it was a real blue-collar program. And as I mentioned, times in – I mean, there would be times where we were out in the field and he was shoveling off the lines – where there were 6 inches of snow on top of it so that we could see what the boundaries were. And the entire time he was priming us, you know, looking down our schedule throughout the course of the year, saying, you know, Syracuse, Johns Hopkins, Maryland, North Carolina, all these guys, Syracuse guys practicing in the dome, North Carolina practicing in their field house, Johns Hopkins practicing in their field house. You know, we didn't have a field house. We had Garber Field, and we practiced on that all year round. So, you know, with Andy, it was that moment, man, that really was one of those defining moments in your life where, you know, I could have easily just said, this guy's fucking nuts, and this is not the program I signed up for, and, you know, I want to just go to college and have a good time and party and, you know, play lacrosse on the side and do school even more on the side. But that was a real wake-up call, man, and that's what Andy's all about.
And he's real, and I think that you probably, from that moment forward, probably grew a lot in terms of your mental toughness and your ability to handle adversity, because that's a lot of what lacrosse is adversity that you've got to overcome. You've got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, and I'm sure that's translated well for you to the real estate world.
Oh, completely, completely. And how to go through that process with a bunch of guys as well. You know, because at any given time, you're going to be wavering your own commitment. You're going to be wavering in your own determination. You're going to be wavering in your sense of, can I do this or not? And there's going to be 40 guys next to you who are all in varying degrees of them wavering or not wavering as well. So going through that process and being able to rely on your brothers and that sense of camaraderie. In fact, I just got off the phone earlier today with a guy over in Germany that I really have developed a close relationship with, a good buddy of mine. We've done a bunch of weekend retreats together, men's weekend retreats, and we've talked about that sense of camaraderie. And I told him, you know, I haven't felt that sense of camaraderie that we're now creating with our own group of men as much as I have. You know, last time I felt it was, you know, well over a decade ago when I was playing at UMass. So that time, man, that 4 years, if you get the opportunity to play or to coach in that type of setting, right now I'm not quite sure that there's anything greater, especially for young men and young women to be developing not only their athletic skills, but most importantly, their life skills.
Jamie, talk a little bit about mindset, man. I mean, whether it's on the lacrosse field or in real estate, or, you know, you run personal development seminars, and I want to kind of transition this podcast now to your mindset and some of the things that you do in your life for personal development that the listeners to this podcast could start doing in their life to help them continue to grow. You know, we're always talking about you're either growing or you're dying, and the key to being more successful than you are today is to continue to grow, right? You're either gonna go through the motions in life, or you're gonna grow through the motions in life. What are some things that you do to grow and to help build your mindset?
There's a lot of things. I'll talk about some of the foundation of what I do. I believe in discipline. What you're setting yourself up to do every single day. For me, in the morning, when I wake up in the morning, and I like real tangible things. I mean, I can give you, well, you know, do this or do that. If I'm not doing it, then I could just be a talking head. That's not what I want to be for you or for your listeners. I'll tell you what I do and I actually get the results from. And so in the morning, I usually typically like to wake up real early. I'd say around 5, 5:30. I have found over the past decade that meditation is a way for me to just kind of get centered into my body, kind of open up to the universe, open up to God, open up to love, whatever your belief is. So I typically sit for about 30 minutes, have a hot glass of lemon water in the morning. I try to get my body as aligned as possible, not only in the morning, but throughout the entire course of the day. So I'm very careful what I eat. I'm very careful what I put in my body. Very, very, very little alcohol, no caffeine. And not because I'm on this strict diet, it just doesn't make me feel good. You know, I tried to get into coffee. I tried to get into, you know, sports drinks that amp you up. But honestly, my body speaks to me otherwise. My body says this is bullshit and typically ends up shutting down. So getting back to the morning routine, having a hot glass of lemon water. And the first thing that I do, man, is I just sit down. I've got a nice little meditation space for me in my house. And I sit for 30 minutes. Right now I'm getting into Zen meditation. I got actually a UMass buddy out in California, Craig French. He's starting a company called Crooked Jaw, and he's been getting into Zen meditation for a while. I've always done my own type of meditation, but he's getting me into this type. And then after I sit for about 30 minutes and just kind of collect myself, center my breath, I start doing some Tai Chi. I got a guy out of New York City. He puts out some great DVDs. His name is Robert Peng, P-E-N-G. He releases some kind of at-home Tai Chi practices. That has been something I've been doing ever since I went to India about 12 years ago. So Tai Chi has always been a part of my practice. And then after that, I do some stretches. And that whole process takes anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. Walk my dog in the morning. Then I typically go and work out. Now in my office, I come in and I spend most of my time in my real estate office. I have a standing desk. I do my trampoline. I've got a little get what it's called, but it's just a little home trampoline, and always trying to keep my state in a resourceful state. Brian, before the podcast, you and I were talking about Tony Robbins. I've gone to all of Tony's events. I've been part of his leadership team, and I've gotten really into that world. So I've known the real importance of state management. You know, I could be doing all my stuff in the morning, but if I'm not maintaining that throughout the entire course of the day, I become less resourceful, my work becomes less productive, my relationships suffer, my company suffers. I mean, everything just kind of collapses if my body collapses, if my mind collapses, if my emotions collapse. So it's really finding ways to keep myself as expanded as possible. And I mean that, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally expanded as I can possibly be. For me, I've also been really focusing a lot on my breath. Everything is going to follow your breath. How successful you are in anything you do, in your emotional state, in your psychological state, in your spiritual state, in your relational state. If you have a shortness of breath, if you're not breathing deep into your balls, Brian, if you can imagine, and for women, I don't know, you know, I can only speak to a man's experience in this, but women, you know, a lot of men, you could probably help them do this. Helps them be a lot more present for you, ladies, which is, I'm sure, what you're ultimately looking for in your men. If you could imagine a big cylinder from your throat down to your balls, right? And just imagine it goes all the way up to your throat, all the way down to the bottom of your balls. Now imagine that it's starting to expand, it's starting to widen. And it's starting to lengthen. So it's starting to widen out and lengthen up. And while you're imagining this, begin to picture yourself breathing at the bottom end of this cylinder, all the way down at the bottom of your balls. And if you can focus on three spaces, your throat, your heart, and your balls. And each breath, you're noticing that the cylinder is expanding. And that these three areas are softening and expanding. Your throat softening, expanding. Your heart softening, expanding. And your balls softening and growing. So I would say probably a couple dozen times throughout the course of the day, if I feel that I'm starting to get up and out of my body, up and out of my mind, up and out of my emotions, and I'm not grounded, this is a great exercise. I'll just sit no matter where I am. I could even be in a meeting. I just start imagining this cylinder within myself expanding. I'm just more present of where my body is in that space, more present where my body is in the room. And it's a great tool just to bring yourself back into that moment, ultimately bringing your power back into that moment.
It's outstanding. I love that. That's beautiful. Let's continue down the path, if you would, talking about meditation. It's something that, you know, the guests on our podcast mentioned. You're doing a great job of actually giving us a strategy for meditation from your throat down to, through your heart to your balls. Is there other, you know, you talked about Zen meditation, right? What's the difference between Zen meditation and, say, where you're just sitting and counting your breath? You know, some of the simple meditations that we've shared through the podcast or in seminars would be like using the app Headspace is something that people can use to get started, or using the app Calm. What are some do you use those apps, and what's the difference between that and Zen meditation?
Yeah, so I use an app by a buddy of mine called Grounded Mind. I think it's groundedmind.com. That is great. Those are more guided meditation. I'm working with a coach right now who, you know, we're kind of holding each other accountable to 30 minutes of meditation every day. I was big into astrology, and I have a guy's name is Rick Jarrow, Jarow, and if you Google him, you'll find some of his work. But I asked him, this guy spent a lot of time with Ron Dass. I don't know if you're familiar with who Ron Dass is. He wrote a book, Be Here Now, you know, one of the great kind of self-help books, spiritual books back in the 60s. But I asked Rick, I said, Rick, you know, look at man, you've been to India countless times. I mean, I almost consider you like a guru. When I talked to him, he had spent a week with Ram Dass at Ram Dass's house out in Hawaii, just the two of them. I mean, if there's anyone that knows about meditation, it's this guy. He's a religious studies professor at Vassar College, and you know, just an amazing, amazing man. I said, you know, what's the best form of meditation? What's the best technique, you know? And I was asking him all these questions, kind of geeking out on meditation. And he said, I'd say he's probably in his early 60s. He stands about 6'4", got this big goatee. I mean, you know, almost like a Merlin figure. And he said, you know, Jamie, the best form of meditation is just sit down and just follow your breath. That's it. No music, no fucking, you know, singing bowls, no chimes. You don't have to put your hands necessarily in a specific spot. You know, your back doesn't have to be a specific angle. I mean, Zen meditation is very, very strict about posture, breathing, where your hands are. But everyone's going to have their own thing, Brian. So I think that especially in our today's culture, what people are being so distracted by, it's not a lack of information, right? There's information out there on anything. And there's people successful in doing it in a lot of different ways. Is really just sitting down and putting the things that you know into practice. So I would say, you know, to your listeners, if meditation is something that intrigues you, just start with the simple practice of sitting down on a pillow, on a couch, in a chair, standing up, doesn't matter. You can lay down as long as you try not to fall asleep, and just begin to put your awareness on your breath, on the inhale and on the exhale. Not trying to necessarily change your breath, not trying to influence it, not trying to make it deeper or more profound. Just putting your awareness on your breath and then noticing what your experience is, right? Noticing how your mind wants to try to take you away from that awareness of your breath. Notice how you might start to fidget. Notice how all of a sudden itches might start to come to your body. And just see if you can maintain that stillness. Start for 5 minutes. Start for a minute. Shit. Just start. Start for 10 minutes. You know? And just continue to bring yourself back to that place. It's going to be fucking hard at first, man. And shit, even people who do it for 67 years, it's still a challenge. But the idea is that consistency, the more you come back to it, the more you'll just start to notice that what used to bother you in your life, what used to hook you, what used to distract you, all of a sudden is not hooking you so bad. It's not distracting you so much. It's not creating such a disturbance in your life. I'm a huge believer in meditation, and not from a Let me say this. If I don't do a meditation in the morning, my life and life in general tends to smack me around most of the day. And I'm not quite sure how that can be, how can it can be such a relationship between not doing meditation and really noticing that, holy shit, my life is almost kind of out of control today. So if anything, it gives me an opportunity just to kind of check in with myself and almost to say to life, I'm here, I'm present, I'm aware, I'm ready, I'm open, I'm quiet. And then allow life to kind of move you throughout the course of the day.
Jamie, I think that's great, man. The you talked a lot about the consistency, right? And consistency being the hardest thing, consistency with the meditation. And if you're not doing it in the morning, that life's kind of smacking you around a little bit. We talk a lot about the importance of routines and routines to keep you consistent. You've developed one of the top real estate agencies in the country. You must have routines that you do in the office as well, and not just in your personal development side in the morning, but in your performance on a day-to-day basis. You must have routines and all that you do as well. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that there are – everyone has routines. Now, some routines might serve you well. Some routines might keep you average. Some routines might help you to surpass your competition or to surpass your – what you thought was your ultimate goal. So everyone's got routines. Everyone has standards. Everyone has disciplines, right? If I were to look at 10 people who are listening to the podcast right now or 100 people listening to the podcast right now, I could tell you, and if I could see their bodies, you and I both, Brian, we don't have to get a degree in this. We could both know just by looking at their bodies, how often do they work out? What's their diet like? How much water intake do they get? Okay. How do we know that? Well, their body basically is just evidence of that. It's living evidence of how they treat their body. What's the routine that they have? What's the discipline that they have? Now, the body is a great way of just externalizing someone's routines and someone's habits. But when it comes to relationships, when it comes to real estate, running a real estate office, we all know that you can come into my office and you can go into any office and basically see what's the quality of their routines. What's the quality of their disciplines. For me, real estate is a people based business. And it is incredibly important that my staff is inspired to be here. If they're not inspired to be here, anyone with any degree of sensitivity when being around someone else is going to know that those people that work in my office are not happy to be here. So as the leader of the office, I need to really exemplify that on a daily basis. I have a huge sound system here in the office that during every one of our staff meetings, which is quite a few times a week, we kick up the music and the first thing that we do is just set the tone, right? Right now I'm talking to you on ridiculously expensive set of headphones that I've invested to help me with my state, right? To help me get into my routines in a more effective way. So I could go into, you know, what's the routine of a real estate office, but really it's what are routines that get us into the right state to do what we want to do, which is to live a passionate life and to be of service to others.
Jamie, you've talked a lot about kind of getting into a state, whether it was the trampoline or music. You know, what exactly is a state? I think sometimes when I mention trying to manage your state, people get a little bit confused. What is a state, and how do you teach that to people for the first time?
Well, your state is basically how you're showing up in any given time, right? How you're showing up to the world in any given time. Now, I can show up physically, right? I could step into a space. But my body doesn't act independently from my mind. My mind doesn't act independently from my emotions. My emotions don't act independently from my relationships and how I'm bringing all of that in, or my spiritual life. So I'm bringing all of that in to this present moment. And this present moment is how I'm showing up and what my state is. So when someone says, I'm in a resourceful state, I'm in an unresourceful state, I'm in a state that can breed success. I'm in a state that is sure to breed failure. it's basically, like I said, how you showing up physically, how you showing up emotionally, how you showing up mentally. Mentally, are you clear? Are you foggy? Are you tired? Are you clear? Emotionally, are you clear? Are you optimistic? Are you compassionate? Are you angry? Are you seething under the surface? Physically, what's your posture like? Where are your shoulders? How's your breath? Did you get your workout in the morning? Is your body feeling good? Right? So state is everything, man. If you're showing up in a state that's not going to serve your life, it's going to be damn hard for you to get through your life and to build an inspiring path for yourself or your organization, whether it's your team, those who are on your team. That's the best way I can explain state.
Jamie, I appreciate you making time, man, and jumping on the podcast here. My last question for you is, what is it that you know now, having been a big-time lacrosse player at UMass, played in a national championship, run one of the most successful real estate groups in the country, attended, you know, Tony Robbins events, running your own events, and just absolutely crushing it in life? What is it you know now that you wish you could go back and you could say to yourself going into UMass to be a college athlete for the first time?
Well, that's a great question, man. I honestly wouldn't say anything. If I could go back to myself, there wasn't a thing that I really regretted, Brian. And I feel that the path that I took to get here, even though there was some real difficult times, and certainly a part of me wishes I could go back and do it again. And if I could, I might do things a little bit differently, but then I wouldn't be who I am today. By no means am I going to come across as somehow expressing that I was perfect or that I, you know, had it all together. I mean, I was far from it and still am very far from it. I mean, I'm always going to be a student of life, student of anything that I'm doing. But I would probably just go back into the room if I could go back to my 18, 19-year-old self and just kind of look at myself and through my eyes and through just acknowledging my presence in that room with my 19-year-old self, just let him know, hey, you got this. You got it. Just do the best you can. And you're going to do great. But I don't even know if I would say anything, man. I would just look him in the eyes and kind of nod and then step back because he's got to go through his own journey, you know. And that journey is what shapes who we are. And, you know, some people who are listening on your podcast, I mean, you might have some things that you could go back and say, fuck, you know, if I had just known what I know now when I was 18, I'd go back and tell my 18-year-old self. But my question to you is, did you not grow? What you would tell your 18-year-old self would probably be how to do something better or how to show up better, but did you not grow from learning the hard way? Did you not grow from the experiences that you had? And the way that you grew, has it not served you incredibly well in your life right now? So would I go back and rob myself of the experience of learning? No, I would never do that. I would never do that.
Great answer, man. Jamie, that's fantastic. I appreciate you being on the podcast. For our listeners that want to, you know, learn more about you or want to get more info, is there a Twitter handle or a website that they can go to get themselves some more Jamie Amon? Because I know I need some.
Yeah, so actually my website right now is under construction. I'm working with a great team down in South America who's took my website down, the one that I currently had up, and is building it back new. So I would say check back in a couple months, just jamieyamon.com. But in the time being, just email me if you want to chat. I mean, I'm always looking for people to connect with, people who are inspired to live life and just share ideas. I mean, I was on, like I said, this morning I spent an hour on the phone with a guy out of Germany. You know, this is a guy that I just check in with and we kind of hold each other accountable, and this is a guy living a life in a beautiful way. So check me out on my email address. You can find me on Facebook. My cell phone number is 607-423-1369. Shoot me a text, give me a call. Be happy to talk to any of your listeners.
I appreciate you, man. You're one of the few people who are of service mind enough to be willing to give out their cell phone to the, 50,000 listeners or so that are listening to this. So hopefully they're blowing you up, and hopefully you're able to make an even bigger impact in the world than you're currently already making, which is pretty massive. So, Jamie, thank you again for being on the podcast. Best to you, man. Looking forward to having you again.
All right, Brian. My pleasure. Thank you.
Are you looking for a high-energy, competitive way to get your team to compete while training athleticism, hand-eye coordination, and lateral quickness? If so, you got to check out Spikeball. Top high school, college, and professional athletes around the world are using Spikeball as a fun and safe competition to start their training sessions, practices, and workouts. It's also a tremendous way to train your routines and releases and build that elite mindset. As a listener to the Peak Performance Podcast, you can get a free Spikeball set by visiting briankane.com/spikeball. Again, that's briankane.com/spikeball, because if you're not playing Spikeball, you're just playing games. Do you want more? Do you want the 20% that will get you 80% of the results? That's what I do for you when you join the Inner Circle. I cut through the clutter and give you the exact resources, techniques, and strategies that are going to help you become more. This is an exclusive group and is not for everyone. When you join the Inner Circle, you will immediately be surrounded by some of the best coaches in the country. Visit briankane.com/innercircle to learn more and join today. Thanks for listening to the Peak Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a positive review or share a link to this episode on social media using #PeakPod. Mention Brian Kane and one thing you learned in this episode for your chance to win a free ticket to the next Brian Kane Experience live event. Dominate the day.